band got together yesterday and practiced for a few hours and got to go up there and set up. And it was different because it was our sound system here is so great now, and you had to go to the auditorium where it was a little difficult. But we had a great time. I know I had a great time. I'm sure they had a great time. And our good friend Jason Torres threw a rap out there. And let me tell you something, the crowd was digging it big time. And we are going to try and do that at some point here so you can get a little taste of Jason Torres doing his rap. What did you say?
I said, whoop, whoop.
Anyways, but I just thought about that a minute ago, and what talented people that we have at this church. But each and every person here plays a role. Whether you're in the band, whether you're preaching, whether you just come on Sunday morning and worship God, this church is just an unbelievable church. And I just wanted to thank everybody that's here just for being a part of such a wonderful thing. So if you'll just stand, and we'll worship together.
Jesus.
My heart is yours. Take it all, take it all. And my life in your hands. My heart.
Father, we surrender our life to you, God, and we do that thankfully and willingly, God. Just surrender to you, Father. You care for us in our daily lives, God, and every time that we need you, we just turn around and you're there, God, and we're just so thankful. As I said earlier, Father, this body of Christ that just comes together each Sunday and we take it out into the world and show your love to people, God. We just thank you for it, and we surrender to you today, in Jesus' name.
surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
This week I've had many, many opportunities to be light, be love, to be joy, to be grace. And I have to be honest, I've had to realign a little bit. I haven't done that well every single time. But what's cool about it is God gives us not condemnation in that, but to say, just try again, just do it again. And I don't have to stay and feeling like I missed that or didn't do that quite right. And this week, it seems like it's just an overwhelming time in His presence in those moments, and just the sweetest time. And as we sing this today, just know that if you've blown it this week, or if you've done really, really well in being who God has you to be, just know that you are where you need to be is in His presence. And it's as easy and as simple as that. Just stay in His presence and just allow Him to be there with you.
In the dark.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgression, it is by grace you have been being saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He made us alive in him. Amen. And he saved us by grace.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good. This being thing's gonna catch on here for long. Yeah, y'all gonna yell more than that tonight, I know. This is Super Bowl Sunday. Will Dawson's got his tie on.
It's cold stuff.
And how many know it's Super Bowl every Sunday here? Every Sunday is Super Bowl here. We got High Church today. High Church. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Thank you for filling out your cards every week. This is going except better than it's done it. Gone in 5 years. We're getting stacks of these with prayer requests, with people committing to Christ, things good things happening in their life. Thank you. And if you're a guest, please fill one out, and there's a gift for you at the information booth when you're going out. And Ron, you and Mike and Sherry are welcome to pick up our gift out there for our visitors, our guests who are here. So thank you for being here. High Church today is because we're going to ordain Brian Miller today, our youth guy. How about that? Yeah. Brian came in, he looked down, and he saw this, and he said, "Whoa, now, I didn't know it was this." He said, "I got to wear that?" I said, "You got to wear it all day long. You got to wear it watching the Super Bowl tonight. You can't take it off till you go to bed." And I said, "I'm just teasing." I said, "I'll let you know when you take it off, though." So that's going to be great at the end. Then we're going to have communion. Man, it just feels good in here today. You feel good? You look good. We're going to talk about celebrating today, celebration. How about that? We'll teach you how to celebrate. I'm going to teach you how to celebrate. Teach you how to celebrate. You with me? All right. You know, being is not a theme for this church for this year. Being is a paradigm shift from going from focusing on our doing to focusing on our being. Because if our being's not right, then our doing will not be as effective as it should. And it might not even be effective at all. If it's not coming out of who we are, if it's not coming out of our being. So we're thrilled about this. You know, I have a theme for this year, if you want it. You might have wanted my theme for 2016. All right, three of you do. I'll give it to you. The theme for 2016 for me is Sweet 16. Sweet 16. Anybody want to buy into that with me? Sweet 16. It's going to be a sweet year. It's going to be a sweet, sweet year. On the back of your bulletin, there's a five words that we're focusing on this year. There are five words of giving, renewing, attending, serving, and praying. We went through those five words last month. We're going to talk about, I think we're going to talk about praying and renewing. I think these two kind of mingle together today. So that's how we're going to kind of merge praying and renewing today and talk about how to be our being. And in God, we live and move and have our being. And that word grasp, which the acrostic down, that we're going to eagerly grasp after, eagerly seize what we need. Amen? Going to eagerly do it. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, and we talked about prayer last week, and we talked about how that the Lord's Prayer and Psalms 23 are more than being prayed at funerals and prayed at weddings. It's a song, it's a prayer that Jesus said, when you pray, pray this. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? When you pray, pray this. And if you pray this, you will get tremendous results because this is what he said, pray. And he starts off and says, I want you to pray our Father in heaven. Now, that's important because if you understand how to become your being, is you got to know that you are his offspring, that he is your Father. The great thing about Christianity is the only religion that looks at God as a Father. It brings God, not this austere God up here in judgment, but we see him as a loving father. He says, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Now, this sounds like a prayer of the future, and some people have relegated that prayer for the future, that one day his kingdom's going to come. But how many know that Jesus said the kingdom of God's within you? So it says, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that word on is a bad translation because it actually means may your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the beginning, God created man, and he went to the dust of the earth and created him. So when he says your kingdom be done in earth, he says your kingdom be done in us. How many know his kingdom is going to be done in earth regardless? The planet earth. Because he created the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. So he can't be talking about his kingdom being done in the earth. It's got to be in the earth that we're made of. It's in us, he says, your kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, I want to give you a simple truth, but it's so profound. For you to pray this prayer, you have to believe that his kingdom and his will being done in you will make you more happy than you are now. You have to believe that his will for you is better for you than your will for yourself. You see, your will can make you, having your way can make you happy. Ron believes that. He should believe that, lives in the Caribbean. If you having your way can make you happy. Can make you happy. It has made all of you happy many, many times in your life. You got your way. It made you happy. I wanted a Jeep for a long time. I couldn't talk Barbara into getting one. She finally got one. It made me happy. I have a grandson named Jet. He loves his way. And he's happy when he's at our house and he says at least three times every day he's there, Nan, get me some strawberry chocolate vanilla ice cream. And she does. And he's happy. And 15 minutes later, he says, Nan, get me some strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, ice cream. Because he can't say the name that it's made of. I can't either. So we both have to say, strawberry, chocolate, vanilla ice cream. And he will say sometimes the third time. And every time it happens, he's more happy. He really is. He is happy. But you know what? When he's 30 and he's getting strawberry, chocolate, vanilla ice cream every time he asks for it, he's not going to be happy. Because he's going to look in the mirror and he's going to see this Jet man who was so fit is no longer fit. So he's going to find out that his way makes him happy temporarily, but it will not last forever. But there is a way, there is a kingdom, there is a will that can be done in your life will not only make you happy, it'll make you happier than you are now. Aren't you glad you go to a happy church? Aren't you glad? I wish there was a church who built people up. I wish there was a church who told people to think differently. I wish there was a church that said you're okay. Well, you are at one. To Jesus. Woman. It's not a future prayer for Christ return is for his will to be done in us. God's will is good for us. Deuteronomy 6:24 says this, "And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to bless us and preserve our lives as he has done to this day." See, when I was young coming up, I came up Pentecostal, and I really didn't think that all this stuff was that happy and good for me. I really didn't think I could be happy. I was going to wait till I got old. I was going to wait till I got my age now, and I was going to give my life to Jesus. Because everybody I saw living their life for Jesus weren't very happy. And I was born to be happy. I was born to have fun. I was born to enjoy life. And so I thought that it really wasn't to make you happy. Because when I saw people in church, they looked like, my dad used to say, winged on dill pickles. They just look sour all the time. But how many are you glad it's for our good? Psalm 19, 7 through 10 says this. Bazunga. That's private joke. I got to fill you in on it. We have a fireplace, gas logs, and we have a remote control to light it. And so Jet lights to go bazunga, and we hit it, and it comes on. So that's funny. I don't care who you are. Then the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, and even honey dripping from the comb. I want you to remember that one in a few moments. Psalm 34 and 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Taste. Don't you love good things that taste good? You know, I think what people think about sometimes when they think about taste, that it's like sometimes, anybody ever been given any medicine that tastes horrible? You ever? What doctor you go to? Because I want to go to that one. Because mine gives me some cough syrup before. But it's good for you. But it's good for you. It's like telling your kids, eat this. They don't like that. It doesn't, but it's good for you. And I think some people think God's that way. God, it don't taste good, but it's good for you. No, it tastes good. It's sweeter than honey. It's not just good for you. It tastes good. Aren't you glad of that? Wow. John chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. When the master of the ceremonies tasted the wine that was now, water that was now wine, not knowing where it came from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over, and a host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you've kept the best until now. After he had tasted, if he can take water and take a jar of stone that was used for ceremonial washings and take a jar of stone and fill it all the way up, because that's how he wants to fill you, is all the way up. And if he can take wine, water, and turn it into wine, what can he do in you? Huh? What can he do in you? What can he do in us? I studied this in the Greek, and it says this, even minds of intoxicated with inferior religious jargon can immediately tell the difference when the Holy Spirit transforms ordinary conversation into the blissful wine of revelation and the merry celebration of life. Whew. Merry celebration of life. You know, the problem is we don't celebrate enough. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, beginning at verse 23, so the Lord saved Israel that day. Say that day. And the battle continued to rage even beyond Beth-Haven. Now the men of Israel were pressed to exhaustion that day because Saul had placed them under an oath, saying, "Let a curse fall on anyone who eats before evening, before I have full revenge on my enemies." So no one ate anything all day, even though they had found honeycomb on the ground in the forest. They didn't dare touch the honey because they all feared the oath. That is good, bro. I ain't even got to the good part yet. The oath. They were told, don't eat the honey. There's a church world out there been told for years and years, don't believe the good stuff. Don't eat the honey. Oh, that's just too good to be true. That's not the God I serve. Sure not. No, it's not the God you serve. But it's a God who serves. But Jonathan, his son, had not heard his father's command, and he dipped the end of his stick into a piece of honeycomb and ate the honey. After he had eaten it, he felt refreshed. But one of the men saw him and said, "Your father made the army take a strict oath that anyone who eats food today will be cursed. That is why everyone is weary and faint. My father has made trouble for us all," Jonathan explained. "A command like that only hurts us. See how refreshed I am now that I have eaten this little bit of honey? If the men had allowed to eat freely from the food they found among our enemies, think how many more Philistines we could have killed." Man, who don't feed their troops? Who doesn't feed their troops? Because there's in verse 23, there was that day God saved them. And then verse 24 says, and that day they were exhausted. See, Saul was thinking about the battles ahead of him and not celebrating the battle he just won. How many think celebration's good? You need to celebrate your victories. Celebrate them. I got three grandkids, but two of them, I'm trying to teach them how to celebrate. And I don't have to teach Jet that yet. He's got it all on his own. But John Henry, we'll go play golf with him sometime. He makes a good shot. And I say, "Good shot, John Henry." And he just, I'm trying to, man, when you hit a good shot, do something. Celebrate. I used to, when I sink a long putt on the green, I had this dance I would do. I can't do it for you because I don't know if it's legal. I don't know if it's not, you could get arrested for that dance. I don't do it anymore because some guys I played for said, "Buren, do you know there are people behind us and they see you do this dance? So you got to come up with some other celebration." I still celebrate if I do something good. You know, Tiger, yeah. Nothing wrong with celebrating life. Celebrate your victories. Celebrate your victories. I stood on the scales the other day and I lost 2 pounds. I went, yeah, yeah. I couldn't tell any difference, but scale said you lost 2 pounds. Yeah, yeah. Celebrate. Now, Anna, darling, that was good. Hey, I know. Girl, you just brag on her and she takes it to another level. You tell her how wonderful she did, she just takes it all up another notch. She will sell you. You let her know she did well, she will let you know she really did well. She'll let you know she did more than well. She celebrates life. That's, these men should have celebrated. Jonathan celebrated. He ate the honey that was there. I like one translation that says, and his eyes were brightened. His eyes were brightened. He saw things differently. Here's some principles of this story. Have you taken an oath? I'll never get there. I'll never make it. I'll never lose that weight. I'll never have this. I'll never have that. I'll never succeed. That could never happen to me. Guess what? I read Job this week, a couple of chapters, got really depressed. But I had to do it for the moment. But whoa, that second chapter of Job, don't read it today. You won't be able to celebrate. I might saw Mike shaking his head a few years ago, Mike going through the most difficult time of his life, and I called him one day and said, "Man, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm reading the book of Job." I said, "You fool. You're going through the worst time of your life and you're reading the book of Job? Dang." And he ended up in that second chapter. He said, "The thing that I feared the most came upon me." I've never liked that scripture. I never have liked that scripture. I never have liked that scripture. I never have thought like what I think could be a tremendous principle there. But so many times, the thing that we fear the most does come upon us. And stop making oaths, "I never will, I never will." A man named Samson, we know the story. One day he says, she finally presses him and says, "Tell me the secret to your strength." He said, "Cut my hair and my strength will be gone." It was a Nazarite vow. If you drank wine, you couldn't drink wine. You couldn't touch anything dead. You couldn't cut your hair. Was the vow of a Nazarene, of a Nazarite. And that's what Samson was. He was a Nazarite. He wouldn't drink wine. He partied all the time. You read Samson's story. The man was always at a party. Always drinking out at a party, looking at women. He touched dead people all the time. He killed 1,000 Philistines one time with a jawbone of an ass, a donkey. And he didn't lose his strength. He still had his strength. But when he said, "If you cut my hair, I'll lose my strength." He lost his strength when he said he would lose it. It's when he lost it. And then one day, after his eyes are plucked out, and he's in a dungeon grinding the meal, after a period of time, he feels something touch the back of his neck, going, "Oh, what's that? Oh, yeah, I remember who I am. I remember my covenant with God. I remember who God says I am." And he says, "Oh, God, one more time, let me avenge my enemies." And he did. And there was more conquered in his death than his entire life, because he went back and realized what it was. Same Samson killed a lion one time and came back and found the carcass and honey in it and dipped his hand in the carcass and ate the honey. He got honey out of his enemy. He got honey out of his battles. You always get honey. Battles is no big deal. You got honey coming out of your battles. You got celebration coming out of your wins. If you never had a battle, you never have nothing to celebrate. Never had a battle, you never had nothing to celebrate. We had some big battles in our life, and there were some battles that happened in our family, but there was some celebration that came out of it. One great celebration. I celebrated a thing that Anna, how she responded to a situation that was unbelievable for a 10-year-old, and she responded so well, and I was so happy, I just couldn't help but told her, "I'm more proud of how you handle this than how you do this or this." And before you think our family is so perfect and all, not only did we, I celebrate how she handled it, I thank God. I say, God, thank you that Nan, her grandmother, was not in Griffin, Georgia, and that she was hundreds of miles away. Because had she been in Griffin, Georgia that night, she might not be with us this morning. And come Christmas time, you would probably be buying angel tree gifts for me and Dusty and the grandkids, because not coming from the incarnate one, but coming from the incarcerated one, because you don't mess with Nan's folk. She's great, but if you bother me, she'll bother you. If you bother Dusty, she'll bother you. If you bother her grand, she will bother you. You take me down, you going down. She ain't there. She ain't there. I wish she was, but she's not. Are you weak because you have no strength? Or are you weak because you haven't eaten the good stuff? Are you weak because you don't have strength? Or are you weak because you hadn't eaten the good stuff? My father's troubled you. All this honey God's provided, all this strength on this ground, it's all around you. It's all around you. It's all around you. And all you have to do is have a bite. Have a bite. Have a bite and celebrate. Have a bite. It's a refresh you make. Man, it makes this thing so much better. I mean, love a good old meal. I mean, how much better do you feel after you had that? Unless you eat something the wrong thing and you feel like crap when you get through eating it. But how many know there's sweet stuff in this earth? Amen? Sweet stuff. I'm going to go high church on you. Get to do something in a moment I love doing. I love dedicating babies and ordaining people. We have been able to do this a lot in this house. I'd venture to say we probably in this house have done it more than most churches in the world. I've seen men and women come to a place of maturity and to be ordained. I love it. Kitty's playing a little song. I was thinking about it. Brian, as you're coming, you and your beautiful wife, and some of the elders, not some of all the elders, if you come and just kind of flag us on the right and the left, kind of keep the center open, but just stand over here, our other pastors and elders. And I was thinking about this song, Brian, and it used to be one of my favorites. Still is a good song of mine. It says, come and join the reapers, all you kingdom seekers, laying down their lives to find them in the end. Come and join the harvest. Help to light the darkness. For the Lord is calling faithful men. And with this today, we're going to place into this community two men that are ordained, that are just so involved in our county and our community, you and Will. Will was the instrumental one in getting you here. And I know it took you a little bit to connect with me, but you finally did. He said I didn't like him when he first came on. He said, I come on staff, and he said, you were gone for 3 weeks. He said, I thought, does he like me? I love you, dude. He says, this is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to an elder, he desires an honorable position. Elder must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife, exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. Must enjoy having guests in his home. He must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children respect and obey him. If a man cannot manage his own house, how can he take care of God's house? It says, do not neglect the gift, the spiritual gift that you received through prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church lay their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these things so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. And we've seen the youth, how they're so attentive to you. And best is yet to come. And I love you and your beautiful wife much. We know you have one coming, expecting soon. And so your life is really getting challenged. But we love you, Brian. And it's with joy that I ask you just to kneel here today. Father, I thank you for Brian Miller. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, the years of preparation that been going on in his life that he maybe didn't even know about. And I thank you, Lord, for what he's doing in our heart and our midst and what he's doing with our youth. And Lord, we ordain him today in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we set him into a place and into a position that will be higher than he is right now. A place, Lord, that will bring responsibility, yes, but great joy, as he will help to light the darkness in other people. And that's what you've called us to do, to take the darknesses in people's lives and replace it with your light. And we thank you for that. And we ordain him today in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand. This is a sign and it's what saying you're going to carry on your shoulders and your heart. You're going to carry people. They're going to mean more to you than they've ever meant before. You're going to see them in a light you've never seen them before. And you're going to carry that great responsibility. But with it, and I'm telling you, man, there's no greater joy. There's no greater joy than seeing the people that you helped lives get better. No greater joy when you see someone in darkness come to light. No greater joy on the face of the earth. And we love you. Thank you. Amen. I want to ask Brian, he just stay here with me this morning and we're going to have communion. And so the elders are going to be taking their places, and when they're ready, then you come down and get your elements and go back to your seat, and we'll receive it together. To remind us of this, but also because of the message we talked about this morning of the sweetness of God, and taste and see that he's good. The Passover, which Jesus was at, traditionally in the Passover, there was this full meal deal. But in that Passover, there were bitter herbs. And they would eat the bitter herbs, and it would remind them of the bitterness of their past. But when Jesus is at this Passover, right before his death, it's evident in Scripture that he got up from the table and he stepped away from the table with bitter herbs, and he reached in and got some bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And in the same way, He reached into the table where the bitter herbs were and took it out. Took the wine, the sweetness, that brings joy. And he says, this is what my crucifixion is all about. Take and remember, you've been forgiven. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? You hear what I'm saying? You getting it? Getting it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good. It tastes sweet.
You may be seated.
I won't take but just a second, but I just want to encourage you and say thank you for your faithfulness to the body of Christ and for being here. And it's such a joy when I'll go online and watch the service, and just to see your faces, and just to encourage you, don't ever take for granted what you have here. I've had the opportunity now to live in a couple of different places, and there's some people here who've lived in other places, and just don't ever take for granted the person you're sitting next to, and the people that you hear speak from this podium, and the opportunities that you have to see one another every week. And I have missed you dearly. I know I get a little grief about the post, and it is a good thing down there. But I truly, truly, truly in my heart have missed you dearly. And I want to encourage you, just love one another and be good to one another, because you are amazing people.
Tell them that you...
And sometimes it just gets rough and lonely, and I need Buren to come see me.
You forgot to say, thus saith the Lord, right? Sure. As our ushers are preparing this morning to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, thank you for your faithfulness. Next Sunday morning, I am going to have, or we... are going to have 11 turkeys here that need to be cooked that week for Rushton Hope the following Saturday. So if you have never volunteered for Rushton Hope, this is a way that you can do it from your home. Take a turkey home, cook it, and then bring it back, cut up off the bone for the following week. So if you're willing to do that, we would need you to do that. We just found that out last minute, so it's not on the card, but there's a lot going on. Still need 10 pots of chili for our cook-off on the 21st. But it's going to be a great time that evening. We're going to have the cornhole board set up in here, so maybe a little tournament will break out or something. So on the 21st. So last thing is, if you are planning on being at the new member lunch or the prospective member lunch, that will be right after the service. If you have children, go ahead and get your children and come back into the sanctuary here. We're going to start here in the sanctuary for that new member lunch or lunch, and we will head back up towards the youth building. We'll drop your children off in the children's department as we tour the facility. We want to kind of show you the ins and outs of Eagles Way in different places you haven't been. So let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come and we can receive from you. Thank you, Lord, for filling us to the brim. Lord, as we take this day, Father, Lord, and we give it to people we come in contact with in this week, Father, Lord, that you will touch their lives as we've been touched this day. Thank you, Lord, for the tithes and the offerings and the alms. Lord, bless them to the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand and worship.
Is in your hands. This whole world may hold me down, but it can never drown me out. I'm not merely flesh and bone. I was made for something.